responsibility for that attack, but the Pentagon says it's still investigating details of that incident. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm KFC's extra crispy colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The report from an independent investigation into claims of sexual harassment at Uber is due for release today. Various media outlets are already reporting the investigation that was headed by U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder purportedly concluded that the ride-hailing giant has a culture of sexual harassment, bullying, and unprofessional behavior. NASA will try a 7th time tonight to launch a rocket that will literally change the color of the sky. Above the East Coast, at least, the rocket will deploy canisters with blue, green, and red vapor forming artificial clouds. NASA saying the clouds will be visible from New York to North Carolina and will allow researchers to determine things about particles in the ionosphere. New York's public theater is standing firm against some backlash and boycotts over a controversial production of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. We brought you this story yesterday with an update now to it. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
The problem is that this Julius Caesar is a Trump lookalike, even during the bloody assassination scene. But public theater director Oscar Eustace says it's not meant to advocate violence toward anyone.
Like drama, democracy depends on the conflict of different points of view.
Several companies have pulled their sponsorships, but the crowds are turning out for this free Shakespeare in the Park production. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:04 a.m. on Tuesday, June 13th. We're here in Flemington, New Jersey, where it's 86 degrees out there. Today it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 93, west wind near 9 miles per hour. And tonight a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 69, light and variable wind becoming north around 6 miles per hour after midnight. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 79, northeast wind 5 to 9 miles per hour, and Wednesday evening partly cloudy with a low around 56. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 77. And Thursday night, a slight chance of showers after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 57. Friday, showers likely after 8 a.m., cloudy with a high near 70, chance of precipitation 60%. Friday night, another chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy with a low around 64. And this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with the highs in the near 80s, and chance of precipitation on both days is 40%. We will have one more commercial, and then we'll be back with Joe Patton from Some Things About Money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're off. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Heide & Associates, and you are listening to Some Things About Money. And in the background, we have an office next door to the studio with a whole bunch of screaming people. Don't know what they're talking about, but things are not too bad. See, we can hear them, even though you may not be able to. So it's just a tad of a distraction for us. So let's see, Tony, what's been going on besides very, very hot weather? Well, the market has had a bit of a rotation of late. It could be because the Fed is talking about raising interest rates. It could be because people are trying to talk technology prices down. I know over the last 2 days, not counting this morning, Apple shares were down about 7% on a downgrade. So that was not good news for the entire tech sector. Took it on the chin, and you can see by the pricing today that a lot of people decided that, that was enough. It was time to throw a little bit more cash back into tech, and we've had a bit of a bounce. So that is part of the good news. Will we see a Fed rate increase? Odds are yes. That might also be good for financials, which have been a bit soft in terms of your sector allocation over the last couple of months. But, you know, with higher interest rates, that would mean higher profitability for banks and the like. So we'll see what happens there. And, you know, things have been down for so long. We're probably due for a little bit more normalization in our interest rates. Even President Trump was saying that he's a low interest rate guy, just like Janet Yellen is as the Fed chair. So seems odd. I'm sure Janet Yellen's in the process of taking notes from all of their meetings, because every time the president says something nice about someone in government, invariably they end up losing their job, or at least it seems that way. So, Donnie, let's take a look at what the markets are doing currently. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 21,282. That's up a little bit over 46 points. The S&P 500 is at 2433, up 4.41. And the NASDAQ is at 6196, up almost 21 points. Over in Europe, European markets are moving a bit higher, even with some Brexit pressure. Capita is up 15%. The markets themselves, the FTSE, down 12 points, a little bit over 0.1%. The DAX is up 71, or up over 0.5%. The CAC 40 is up 21 points, almost 22, up 0.4%. Looking at oil prices, down about 34 cents a barrel to 45.74, and that is Saudis pledging to make real supply cuts. Believe it when we see it. And then taking a look at gold, well, gold is down as well, down $2.90 an ounce to 1266. The 10-year Treasury yield, well, we're looking at 2.209%. A lot of conversation out there. Some analysts are actually expecting the 10-year yield to drop to about 2%. Which will be interesting and would be a harbinger of a weak economic situation here. But, you know, U.S. Treasuries are lower as investors continue to look to the Fed meeting to see what's going on there. Speaking of investors, you know, Jeff Cox put an interesting article on CNBC.com. He is a contributor to CNBC, and according to Jeff, a record number of investors are believing the stock market is too high. And let's see, a net 44% of respondents to a Bank of America Merrill Lynch manager survey believes equities are too expensive. By region, a net 84% of fund managers say the U.S. is the most overvalued. That's also a record. Now, as stocks continue to climb ever higher, so has the nervousness among investors who believe that valuations are starting to get out of hand. In fact, a record number of pros believe the market is overvalued, according to that survey of fund managers released today by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. In all, a net 44%, the difference between those who say the market is overvalued and those who do not believe equities are too expensive. That's up from a net 37% last month and comes over a span when the S&P 500 has added about 1.6%. Now, the benchmark is now up 8.5% for 2017. Now, looking at individual regions, a net 84% of fund managers say the U.S. Is very, very high. Let's see. Japan up 4.1%. The U.K. FTSE 100 has risen 5.2%, also on the high side, but not as much as the U.S. Market vulnerability to profit weakness is very high, with investors' perception of excess valuations coinciding with high global profit expectations, according to Michael Hartnett, Chief Investment Strategy for Bank of America Merrill Lynch. The record high concern about overvaluation coincides with a record exposure that hedge funds have to stock. Hedge fund portfolios have a 73% net long exposure to equities around the levels of the second quarter of 2015, according to a separate report from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Investors also are concerned about the surge in tech stocks, with the NASDAQ at the top of the most crowded trade list, according to the survey. For much of the year, investors have been fearing the popularity of the U.S. dollar trade, but that has waned to the point where just a net 7% feel the long greenback move is the most overcrowded. Europe continues to be a popular place to park money. Allocation to equities there at a net 58% overweight, which is near to a two-year high. Retail investors also remain cautious about the stock market. Bullishness on the American Association of Individual Investors survey is at 35.4%, and that's up 8.5 percentage points from a week ago, but still below normal. Bears are at 29.5% in the survey, right around the long-term historical average. Money of late, well, that's been flowing heavily into bonds. Fixed income bonds took in $16 billion last week, the largest inflow in more than 2 years, while stock funds lost $1.3 billion, according to that Bank of America Merrill Lynch survey. And, you know, when you really think about it, in terms of historical perspective, we are so overdue for that inevitable correction. I think statistically, every just over 3.5 years, we get at least a 20% pullback in the equity markets, and we haven't seen that for quite some time. Most people remember 2008 bottoming out in the first quarter of 2009. We've had some pullbacks since then, but certainly nothing like what we would expect as being a historical average pullback every 3.5 years since 2008. So I suspect that right now there are a lot of nervous financial advisors and portfolio managers biting their nails, just waiting for this to occur, not because of fear. We've talked about this many times on the show. We should always have some dry powder waiting to use when that inevitable pullback occurs, so we can take advantage of it to build up our portfolio valuations and our individual wealth. So right now, as much as we realize and we just hate the fact that we're not making much of anything out of cash, the fact of the matter is, if we were to get that 20% or so pullback, and some analysts are talking about being significantly greater because of the delay in it coming, there are going to be a lot of really upset people out there, and hopefully you're not going to be tempted to pull money out of the equity markets, and that you have set some cash aside and have been willing to earn next to nothing on it for the opportunity to build significant wealth when it does occur. Think of it this way. Let's just say from this point forward, the market continues to grind and grind, and we get our 1%, 3% pullback, and then it bounces back and grinds a little higher. It's taking a long time for that to occur. How long would it take for the markets keeping that pace to earn 20 to 25%? Well, quite a while. So, again, we expect that there's going to be some meaningful correction, perhaps as early as the beginning of 2018. Some people are saying we're going to get a summer top and then a pullback right after that. But the fact of the matter is, even if you were to miss the grinding upward movement, that correction is going to wipe out those small gains. So really, are you missing anything? No. So raise some cash. Be prudent. Take a look at setting those dollars aside. It's okay to be greedy about your future wealth by just building more and more cash with that expectation that we're going to employ it when the pullback does occur. But the key is be patient. And also, when it does happen, don't be fearful. Because you have to make that decision in advance of the event and decide what strategies you're going to employ. Are you going to wait for a 10%, put some in, and then when it goes to 15, put more in? If it hits 20, put more in? Or are you going to just say, I'm going to put it all in as soon as I can? Well, that may not be a good strategy. The other thing you have to consider is, what is the strategy against your goal? What are the things that you're looking to accomplish with this money? What are your time frames? What are your risk tolerances? What is your tax situation? What is your reserve and cash flow needs? All of those things are considerations in making that investment decision. So, you want to make sure that you have a comprehensive plan in place. If you don't have a qualified, credentialed financial advisor, hey, you can give us a call. I'd be more than happy to have a consultation with you. There's no obligation on your part. It's really an interview where you come in and check us out. And you can do that by giving us a call at 908-713-6600. Set up a meeting. Again, no obligation. At the end of the meeting, we'll both be able to determine whether or not there's any reason for you to work with us and what that benefit might be. And we would just go from there. So hopefully you'll take advantage of it. You can check us out on our website. There's a lot of different ways to look at Patton Heiding Associates. We are located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey. And we'd love to hear from you. And you'll be hearing more from us and some things about money when we come back from this break.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. You are listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton, Heidi & Associates. And we are located at 1318 Route 31 North in beautiful Annandale, New Jersey. And I'll give you a heads up, we are going to be moving soon to Clinton. We're moving to Lee Street. So we'll be announcing that when the move occurs, and hopefully you'll stop in and say hello. Well, let's see. Markets continue to move on the green side, which is good. People are looking at earnings, which are good. And life is pretty good right now for Marissa Mayer. Verizon has completed the $4.48 billion acquisition of Yahoo, and Marissa Mayer is leaving with $23 million as the result of that acquisition. I'll tell you, it's a good job if you can get it. But let's see. Let's talk more earnings. It's still a little bit early, but second quarter corporate earnings are shaping up well. We are almost to the halfway point in the final month of the second quarter, and according to FactSet, 75 S&P 500 companies have issued negative earnings guidance for the period through last Friday, June 9th. Now, this may sound like a lot, but it's below the five-year average of 79. More notably, the number of companies issuing positive earnings updates, 37 through last Friday, is well above the five-year average and currently ranks as the highest level of positive guidance since the first quarter of 2012. So the positive pre-announcements have been dominated by the technology, healthcare, and consumer discretionary sectors. Per FactSet, 9 of the 17 upward pre-releases from the tech group come from the semiconductor and semiconductor equipment industries, an industry that is also expected to post the highest year-over-year growth for the period of plus 40%. Not bad at all. So always like to see sectors doing well. What isn't seeming to do so well is the Department of Labor Fiduciary Standard rule. That has just kicked off recently. Congress is looking to do away with part or all of the rule. We'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. We'll also talk about when inflation is a good thing. Social Security. Yes, we haven't seen much in the way of cost of living adjustments in recent years, but with the expectation of inflation beginning to move higher, especially as the Fed continues with their planned raising interest rates, that may actually be good for retirees. And you know, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that later as well. But, you know, Tony, we've heard the expression, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Well, said another way, the greater the year-to-year return, the harder the last 2 days have been to endure. The reality check that began Friday and continued yesterday hit 2017's biggest winners the hardest. Going into last Friday, the Russell 3000 top decile for the year-to-date performance, the highest returning 290 stocks from 12/31/16 through 6/9/17, had an average return of just over 60%. A small portion of those gains were given up in just 2 days of trading, as the top performers fell on average almost 3% compared to just a tenth of a percent loss for the S&P 500. In our view, the rotation appears systematic given both the lack of news surrounding the sell-off and the nearly perfect negative correlation between year-to-date performance and performance over the past 2 days. We believe the trading activity that closed last week and opened this was more than simple profit-taking, as not only the winners were sold, but year-to-date losers were bought. In our view, it's too early to call the recent market movement a momentum reversal or a turning point in the outperformance of growth stocks over value. However, we do believe this week's Federal Open Market Committee policy meeting has taken on increased importance in light of the tech sell-off and financial sector rally. You know, with the Fed widely expected to raise short-term interest rates another 25 basis points, we believe investors may focus more on the question and answers during the press conference. In the meantime, investors will likely be watching to see if this year's top performers can stabilize ahead of the Fed policy meeting. So, we talked a little bit about that earlier. Rotation is always something that we have to pay great attention to. So, talk about sectors. Let's talk a little bit about the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee viewpoint. We usually go through this, talking about equity sector allocation from a tactical view. Also, the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee's global equity region tactical view, and that is as of the end of end of March of 2017. So they've yet to revise it, which might account why they still have an overweight on the United States as far as the global equity region view. But let's start off with the U.S. equity sector. Tactically, we're looking at overweight positions in energy, financials, which we just referenced, and information technology. Equal weight, telecom, industrials, materials, consumer discretionary, and underweight positions for consumer staples and real estate, which will not do well if interest rates continue to move higher. Global equity, regionally, we still have an overweight on the United States. That's the only region with an overweight. We are equal weight on Canada, Europe, Latin America, Asia Pacific, and Japan, and we are underweight the United Kingdom, probably due to Brexit, as well as the Middle East Africa regions. So that's currently what we're looking at as far as our allocations. What's coming up in the week ahead? We were talking about central banks being in the focus this week. The U.S. Federal Reserve's Monetary Policy Committee, the Federal Open Market Committee, is going to be releasing its decision tomorrow at approximately 2 p.m. The Bank of England and the Bank of Japan will also both meet. The Bank of England on Thursday and the Bank of Japan on Friday. Unlike the Fed, the Bank of England and the Bank of Japan are both expected to maintain their rate policies. The Bank of England likely has the trickier call given the pending economic implications of the Brexit decision as well as the recent leadership question. But overall, its policy has been accommodative. The Fed is widely seen as raising its ultra-short-term rates this week following the meeting. If so, it would be the third such recent hike in Fed rates following 25 basis point hikes in their December 2016 and March 2017 meetings. The CME Group's Fed Funds Monitor currently reflects market odds of a rate hike at this week's meeting to be 96%. We concur that a rate hike this week is likely. Going forward, we believe that the next hike to most likely come will be in December. Many market participants are predicting a September hike, but although the unemployment rate is at very low levels, evidence of labor cost pressures has been weaker than expected. Signs of economic acceleration have also been choppy, and unless we see evidence of a more robust expansion over the summer, we believe the Fed would be right to take a wait-and-see stance come the September meeting. Let's see. A more significant Fed-related risk over the intermediate term, about 9 months, could be how the administration handles Fed appointments. There are currently three vacancies on the Board of Governors. Each governor is automatically a voting member of the FOMC, and Chair Yellen's term expires in January of 2018. President Trump has criticized Fed policy on the campaign trail, but monetary policy sentiments usually change when in office. Most presidents would likely seek to have a dovish Fed driving policy while they're in office as to corner the best possible economic outcomes, for which, of course, they can take credit. There have been some news reports, however, that the administration may nominate individuals that lean a little bit hawkish and have supported the idea of policy being rules-driven and criticize the crisis period bailout. Simply put, the markets would likely respond negatively to a more hawkish or divided Fed. With that said, I think we're going to take our next break, and when we come back, you will be listening to more Some Things About Money.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In just over 3 hours, a Trump cabinet member will be under the glaring spotlight of a U.S. Senate panel testifying at an open hearing. Here's a preview from Joe Gomez.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is expected to answer new questions about meetings with Russian officials. Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation because of undisclosed meetings with the Russians. Sessions will also be pressed about his role in former FBI Director James Comey's firing.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson just confirming release of an American student from captivity in North Korea after Otto Warmbier served about a year of what was supposed to be a 15-year sentence after the North accused him of removing a poster that pictured the late dictator Kim Jong-il. Tillerson says the U.S. will continue working to free three other Americans who are still detained by the North. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyroot for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesale of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
Hi, this is Tony Clark, and you're listening to Some Things About Money. It is Tuesday, June 13th, 11:32 a.m. We'll do a quick weather report, and then we'll go back to Joe Patton with Some Things About Money. Today, right now, we're looking at 86 degrees here in Flemington, New Jersey. Mostly sunny with a high near 93. West wind around 9 miles per hour. Later on tonight, a chance of showers and some thunderstorms, mainly after 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Tomorrow, Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 79. Northeast wind 5 to 9 miles per hour. And Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 56. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 77. And Thursday night, another chance of showers after 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 57. Friday evening, showers likely after 8 a.m. on Friday. Cloudy with a high near 70. Chance of precipitation is 60%. And Friday evening, another chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy with a low around 64. Chance of precipitation 50%. Saturday and Sunday, we're looking at some more showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a high near 81. And chance of precipitation is 40%. I'm going to turn it over to Joe Patton with Some Things About Money.
And I will take that, Tony. Thank you very much. We were talking a bit earlier about inflation and one of the benefits perhaps being that of an increased cost of living adjustment for Social Security. Now, Mary Beth Franklin, certified financial planner and a contributor to Investment News, provided some insights which we found very interesting. Social Security beneficiaries have lost nearly a third of their buying power since 2000, as the costs of items typically purchased by the elderly have significantly outstripped the annual inflation increases in their retirement benefits, according to a new report by the Senior Citizens League. But creeping inflation over the past 12 months may have a silver lining. Based on consumer price index data, through April of this year, the consumer advocacy group estimates that Social Security cost of living adjustment for 2018 will be about 2.1%, and that's significantly higher than that paltry 0.3% increase this year. Social Security inflation adjustments have averaged only 1% since 2012, including no increase in 2016. Now, cost of living adjustments are based on increases in the CPIW, which measures price inflation for urban workers from the third quarter of the prior year to the corresponding quarter of the current year. The Social Security Administration will make its official announcement about next year's cost of living adjustment in October. Now, Mary Johnson, chief policy analyst for the Senior Citizens League and author of the group's inflation study, noted that the 2.1% COLA estimate for 2018 could change between now and the fall, since there are several months to go before all the data is in. But she said the trend is clear. Inflation is picking up and seniors are suffering. Since 2000, Social Security benefits increased 43%, while typical senior expenses as calculated by the Senior Citizen League's annual buying power report have jumped 86%. The survey found that a person having the national average Social Security benefit of $816 a month in 2000 would have $1,169.80 per month by 2016 due to the automatic COLA increases in most years. But because retiree costs are rising substantially faster than the COLA, that individual would require a Social Security benefit of $1,517.80 per month in 2017 just to maintain his or her 2000 level of buying power. Now, beneficiaries have just 70% of the buying power that they had in year 2000, making it more difficult for retirees, particularly those who have been retired the longest, to afford necessities such as medical care, food, or housing, the study found. But costs, well, when costs climb more rapidly than benefits, retirees must spend down retirement savings more quickly than expected, and those without savings or other retirement income are either going into debt or going without, Mrs. Johnson said. More than 60 million people received Social Security benefits last year. More than 70% of those beneficiaries were retired workers and their spouses and children, according to the Social Security Administration. About 10% of the beneficiaries were survivors of deceased workers, and the remaining 18% were disabled workers and their families. Even high-income retirees rely on Social Security for a substantial portion of their income. For nearly a third of investors with a net worth of $100,000 to $1 million, excluding their primary residence, Social Security accounts for at least half of their monthly income, according to a 2016 white paper by Spectrum Group, Social Security, When and Why. Senior advocacy groups, including the Senior Citizens League, argue that when it comes to measuring inflation experienced by the retired and disabled individuals, the government is using the wrong index. The CPIW gives less weight to medical care and housing costs, two categories that have experienced rapid inflation and represent a larger portion of the budgets of older households than younger workers. The study examined the increase in costs between 2000 and January 2017 of 39 key items that represent typical expenses of elderly households. The study used the same weightings the government uses in calculating the Consumer Price Index for the elderly, an alternative measure of inflation that senior groups say is more representative of retiree spending patterns. For example, Medicare Part B monthly premiums have risen 195% to $134 in 2017 from $45.50 in 2000. Big jump. An average out-of-pocket cost for prescription drugs have increased 184% to $3,132 in 2017, up from $1,102 in 2000. The average premium for supplemental Medigap insurance has increased 122% to $264.45 per month in 2017 from what was $119 per month in 2000, according to the study. Overall, average medical out-of-pocket expenses for people age 65 and up are nearly double today compared to 2000, rising from $6,140 per year to $12,125 per year. Higher-income retirees, defined as single individuals with incomes at the top $85,000 and married couples with joint incomes over $170,000, pay a higher monthly premium for both Medicare Part B, which covers doctor's fees and outpatient services, and Part D, which covers prescription drugs. Those higher income retirees subject to monthly Medicare surcharges may be in for a shock next year. New income bracket based on 2016 tax returns take effect in 2018. As a result, retirees who currently pay a high income surcharge could pay even more next year, even if their income remains the same. So, you know, people were getting an increase in our cost of living adjustment and Social Security. How much is too early to determine. But if you are in a higher income range, look out, because those costs will substantially outstrip any cost of living adjustment you may be enjoying as the result of that increase. Let's take a look at where we are in the markets right now. Let's see here, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we love, it's near and dear to our hearts, up right now over 62 points to 21,297. The S&P 500 is up 6 to 24.35. The NASDAQ is up 26 to 62.01. European markets, again, for the most part today, moving higher. FTSE up 12, a little bit over a tenth of a percent. The DAX up 70 points, 0.56%. The CAC is up 22 points, 0.42%, all green in those two. And looking over at oil prices, oil down 24 cents a barrel to $45.84. Gold prices down $3.50 an ounce to $12.65.40. And the 10-year Treasury yield has reversed. It's now up to 2.216%. And Bill Gross is saying that all financial markets are increasingly at risk. Well, more negative news from a pundit that you would expect. Because whenever things are good, naturally we have to roll out the people to give a negative view of what's happening in the markets on that given day. So let's see what else is going on. Interesting news. We talked about Marissa Mayer's goodbye check of $23 million. Nice. And then we have people betting against Apple. We have conversation about the Deputy Attorney General says he would only fire the special counsel if there was good cause. We have, you know, Ambassador of Qatar leaving her post in the Middle East Persian Gulf crisis. Let's see, all these different headlines that I'm looking at right now on CNBC that, of course, have nothing to do with stock prices or the earnings of corporations that drive those prices, but it makes for interesting copy for us to read and for you to hear about, because, after all, we are human beings, and in order for these folks to make money, they have to get us all riled up with their headlines so they can, you know, go through their Nielsen surveys and get higher ratings so they can charge higher ad revenue, and that is useful for their shareholder value and their stock prices. So they try to take you off the focus of corporate earnings and fundamentals and some technical work that we do occasionally for our clients and get you focused on the emotional aspect of investing. But just remember, you know, fear, false emotions appearing real, and it's no less true for investing than anything else, and these people know how to play on the fears of investors and the general public by throwing these things out there. And again, that has virtually nothing to do with what drives share value. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Congress. looking to move to axe the Department of Labor fiduciary role. And if you've been listening to this show, you know how much I'm in favor of it. I always believe that financial advisors should be mandated to do what's in the client's best interest, not their employing company's best interest. But, hey, that's just us. When we come back, we'll talk about that. You are currently listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, Congress moving to axe the Department of Labor rule. Go figure. Can't imagine. But there wouldn't be any money involved, would there, Tony? You know, some lobbyist funds just kind of making their way, you know, and in those envelopes across the desks, you know, without any witnesses in the room. Can't imagine that ever happening, can you? Well, let's see. Interesting article by Mark Schoff Jr., Washington Watch. For investment news, Financial Choice Act passes House. Two new bills aimed to scuttle fiduciary regulation. Now, I want you to listen closely to the lack of logic behind what Congress is doing. Sort of subtle, but not too subtle. The House of Representatives approved legislation last Thursday that includes a provision to kill the Labor Department fiduciary rule, while House and Senate Republicans introduced separate bills to stop the regulation and establish a new investment advice standard. They all face long odds in the Senate, where Democrats have more than enough members to block legislation through a filibuster. In a party-line vote, 233 to 186, the House passed the Financial Choice Act, a measure that would overhaul the Dodd-Frank financial reform law, and Lord knows some reform is needed, but it also contains language that would scuttle the DOL rule and prohibit the agency from advancing a fiduciary regulation until the Securities and Exchange Commission's, they're proposing their own rule for retail investment advice, and who knows, that's a mighty big can to continue to kick down the road. Republican backers of the Choice Act see it as a way to roll back excessive financial regulations promulgated by the Obama administration. Democrats labeled it the Wrong Choice Act, asserting it would take important investor protection off the books, including the DOL rule. And that rule requires financial advisors to act in the best interest of their clients and retirement accounts. Well, gee, I could certainly see why that's not good. We must stand up for retirees and respect this bill, said Bobby Scott. He's a Democrat from Virginia. Good for you, Bobby. Senate resistance, well, Representative David Scott, Democrat of Georgia, said his Democratic colleagues in the Senate will stifle the measure. I have talked with our senators, and they have assured me that this bill is dead on arrival, he said. While the Financial Choice Act was on the House floor, GOP reps Phil Rowe of Tennessee and Peter Ruskin of Illinois, introduced the bill that would kill the DOL fiduciary rule and establish a different best interest standards that would enhance transparency and accountability through clear, simple, and relevant disclosure requirements, according to the statement. I would love to see if they even know what that means. On the other side of the Capitol last Thursday afternoon, Senator Johnny Isaacson, Republican from Georgia, introduced similar legislation. It would halt the Department of Labor rule and require financial advisors to serve in their clients' best interests and require clear communications of key information by advisors to ensure investors are well informed to make investment choices, according to the statement. Neither the GOP fiduciary bill of the GOP fiduciary bills has Democratic support. Obtaining any support in the Senate will be difficult, according to David Titsworth, counsel of Ropes and Gray. I would be surprised if you see a compromise on the DOL type of provision anytime soon, he said. You can't just jam something through on a party line vote the way you can in the House. The legislative activity came a day before partial implementation of the DOL rule began last Friday. Two provisions of the measure became applicable while the agency reassesses the regulation under a directive from President Donald J. Trump that would lead it to its revision or repeal. Last Wednesday, Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta testified in a congressional hearing that the pending request for information will allow the agency to collect data and analysis that could become the foundation for rulemaking to change the regulation. Senate Democrats will wait to see the results of the review before addressing the standalone bills to replace the DOL bill, said Jason Rosenstock, partner at Thorn Run Partners. They're not willing to rebuild the House until the House is burned down, said Rosenstock. Acosta is trying to take down the House slowly. So you have a lot of information out there regarding the DOL regulation. The bottom line is it does require full and fair disclosure. It does require overall that the advisors act in the best interest of their clients. As we've talked many times before, certified financial planners and other credentialed advisors do work under a fiduciary standard, although not exactly the way it's being addressed here in this legislation, but it's certainly one that provides a mandate to do what's in the client's best interest and to do no harm in any aspect of their financial situation. And remember, certified financial planners don't just talk about investing. You're looking at cash flow requirements, cash reserve requirements, and what is appropriate. You're looking at investment portfolio construction. You're looking at risk. You're looking at all of those things. In many cases, it's always going to be more important to conserve assets than it is to grow the money, because if you lose it, there's nothing left to grow. We're going to look at risk strategies to make sure that whatever is appropriate for that portfolio is entertained. We're going to look at tax strategies to ensure that we're not losing money to taxation. You know, we want to be more tax efficient in the construction of our strategies. We want to look at your employer benefit package. We want to look at government entitlements to ensure there's no overlap, that you're not paying for something you're not using or you don't need, or that you have something available to you that you do need that you're not taking advantage of. We also want to take a look at, your estate situation. We don't draw legal documents unless, the advisor also happens to be an attorney. But, we want to be able to review your wills, your trusts. We want to make sure that where appropriate powers of attorney have been drawn, that your medical directives are up to date. We want to know all of that about you. So when we make recommendations, we're doing it in your best interest, not in the investment company's best interest by buying the product that they happen to take off the shelf for you. The old one size fits all. Things that, they promise to be safe or guarantee a return, which you can't do. Things that come with rather high costs and high commissions to them. So it's always important that you understand, what the advisor role is and what they're supposed to do for you and what their obligations are to you. And currently, under this newly implemented law, that obligation would be doing what's in your best interest. And that's what they're fighting against. They want to go back to an older standard with some adjustments to kind of placate those who will continue to push this issue. But, I mean, overall, the argument has been, well, gee, you know, you're going to eliminate access to financial advisors or financial advice for people who don't have large amounts of money to invest. Wow, if that isn't a straw man argument, I don't know what is. I mean, there's that thing out there called Google. You have robo-advisors who are able to take small amounts of money and provide advice. There are all sorts of internet platforms that will provide you with the information, the charting services that you need at little or no cost. No, you don't get a credentialed advisor to hold your hand and to walk you through not just the nuances but the complexities of all these situations. But you have enough out there to provide you with what you need at little or no cost, more so than ever existed before. So when I read about companies and individuals who are saying, well, gee, how unfair it is to the small investor. No, it isn't, because the small investor has access to all more information today than ever before. You know, they have more information at their disposal than millionaires had just 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So, you know, don't give me the woe is they or woe is me. It's just not a good excuse. So, you know, continue to go out there, press your legislators, your representatives, you know, ask them why they don't believe that something that's in your best interest is not a good thing. I don't know that you're going to get a straight answer, but it certainly will be one that you'll find interesting. So, with all of that being said and done, you have been listening to Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Tony Clark, here at the board. We are with Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey. If you'd like to give us a call, learn more about the standard, how we work, and what we can do for you, please give us a call at 908-713-6600. Go on Michelle's website. Great video about her discussing who she is, how we go about our business. You will find it very informative. And there's a lot of good information on there, a lot of good articles, a lot of good calculators for retirement, things that you can put into practice, you know, for yourselves and your family. So I want you to have a great day. I know it's hot out there. If you have to go out before the storms hit. Go out, shop in Hunterdon County. Remember, these are the people who provide us with, you know, taxes for our school systems, who help us with covering the cost of our services here in the county. Go out and support them. Just always remember, buy Hunterdon, buy often. Have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In just over 3 hours, a Trump cabinet member will be under the glaring spotlight of a U.S. Senate panel testifying at an open hearing. Here's a preview from Joe Gomez.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is expected to answer new questions about meetings with Russian officials. Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation because of undisclosed meetings with the Russians. Sessions will also be pressed about his role in former FBI Director James Comey's firing.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson just confirming release of an American student from captivity in North Korea after Otto Warmbier served about a year of what was supposed to be a 15-year sentence after the North accused him of removing a poster that pictured the late dictator Kim Jong-il. Tillerson says the U.S. will continue working to free 3 other Americans who are still detained by the North. This is USA Radio News.
Greta is a drill instructor.
On your feet and negotiate this obstacle.
Yes, ma'am.
When it comes to training lean, mean, fighting machines, she doesn't mess around.
I do not have all day, people.
But in her free time, Greta's an amazing poet. And she knows it.
The green grass, it whispers to me like an ancient firefly.
Look at her throw those verses with confidence. But when it comes to getting a mortgage, Greta's less confident.
A little help here?
Fortunately for Greta, there's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. It's simple, so she can understand the details and know she's getting the right mortgage.
My confidence It's returned like a jealous lover on a rainy night.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Go to rocketmortgage.com today.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
A desperate manhunt underway in Georgia after two prison guards were shot and killed, and a pair of prisoners are now on the run. Putnam County Sheriff Howard Sills say the prisoners were being transported on a bus when at least one inmate opened fire, killing the guards. No word on where the gun came from. The escaped inmates have been identified as Ricky DuBose and Donnie Russell Rowe. The White House is denying reports that President Trump's considering firing the special counsel in charge of the Russia investigation. Independent Maine Senator Angus King saying it would be a huge mistake if he did so.
If there's nothing there, as the president keeps asserting, then why do you keep impeding it by threatening anyway? In this